Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning. Tuesday, June the 16th, 2026. What do we've got here? 6-16-26. A lot of sixes in this date. 12 and a half minutes past the hour. Want to do some news and notes here, and then we're going to get to last night's city council committee meetings. Do want to remind everybody, the Bobby Floyd Trio, hosted by Shauna McNamara, featuring artist LaCosta Mays, he's very, very good, and comedian Cameron Steele, will be at the May Pavilion at the Palace Theater. Doors open at 6 p.m., entertainment at 6:30 p.m. That's this coming Saturday, June the 20th. There'll be a silent auction and a 50-50 drawing. General admission, $40, pre-sale tickets only, but the big event this coming Saturday, 6:30 p.m. at the May Pavilion. Tickets are $40, comedian, singer, and Marion's only Grammy winner, Bobby Floyd. And I've attended this event the last 2 years, I believe, and this is a fun uptown event, and Bobby Floyd is great each and every year. So if you haven't been, try to make it to this event at the May Pavilion on Saturday, starting at 6:30 p.m. I also want to thank Dick Schwatterer, who was our photographer last week during our anniversary party. He dropped off. Now, see, this is a throwback. He dropped off yesterday 100 actual pictures. Now, you know, these days we're all into cell phones and computers and sending pictures that way. He brought me 100. Matter of fact, let me. There's a count on this this box here, or envelope, I should say. 133 photos, 4x6 prints, and Dick dropped those off yesterday. So I've got a lot of pictures and memories that I will have in my hand from last week's party. So I want to thank Dick Schwatterer for that. You know, and this just goes to show, I say this with letters, emails, and pictures. You really need to print these things off if they mean anything to you. And so I thank Dick for doing that. We'll have a lot of memories of last week's big anniversary party with the whole gang, and that was a lot of fun. So there's that. Also want to remind everybody, there's kind of a weird thing going on this morning in Ohio. Now, I'm not going to tell you this so you can tune away, but I'm sure you will hear about this as the day goes along today. This morning at 9:30, our governor, Mike DeWine, is going to be holding a press conference. You know, he's just about done with his 8 years in office. And he's going to be holding a press conference. I believe Channel 10 is going to be covering it. I don't know if the other stations are or not. But it'll be live at 9:30 this morning. And he did not release any statements on what this press conference is going to be about, which is kind of strange for a governor to do. But I'm pretty sure it has leaked out that he's going to be talking about his stance on the death penalty. And it's very interesting because Mike DeWine has not really ever given his stance on the death penalty here in Ohio, although he has delayed every execution since 2019 when he took office. So there's basically been a moratorium on the death penalty here in Ohio, capital punishment, even though it is legal for the last 8 years, since DeWine has been in. But apparently, right before he goes out of office, this morning at 9:30, he's going to give his official stance on the death penalty. I think we all know what that stance is, but is he going to try to eliminate the death penalty? I don't know. Is he going to try to commute the people who are on death row? I don't know. Or is he just going to tell us what his stance is, even though we probably, well, most likely we already know what his stance is since he's delayed every every execution since he came into office in 2019. I don't know, but that's happening at 9:30 this morning. I think that'll be interesting and give us something to talk about. Now, that's the stuff up front. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about in regard to that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But don't tune away from us this morning at 9:30, because as soon as we're aware of what his stance is, we'll tell you. And I'm sure you're going to hear it 50, 60 times on the Columbus News today and newspapers tomorrow, and it'll be all over the internet as soon as Mike DeWine says whatever he's going to say. But I do think it's interesting that he did not, and his office did not announce what they were going to be talking about. It kind of leaked out early this morning from the people in the Columbus Bureau. So, I don't know. Do you think the death penalty is a good idea? Do you think Mike DeWine should abolish it? Do you think... I can't imagine he's just going to come on and tell us that he's not for the death penalty, considering he's already delayed every execution since he came into office 8 years ago. I don't know what this is all about this morning. Maybe he's going to try to do away with it. I don't know. And I'm not really sure what power he would have to do that. He has some. Or maybe he's going to try to commute all cases or certain cases. It'll be interesting this morning at 9:30. Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So that's the number if you want to dial on the death penalty, which will be definitely a topic of conversation after 9:30 a.m. this morning when Governor DeWine gives that that press conference. Okay, well, last night at the city council committee meetings, the conversation was basically, they had a finance meeting last night, and there really wasn't anything there of great interest, but they did have a committee meeting in regard to decorum, which has now been in committee for 2 months, and it's going to stay in committee, which is what I have predicted, that it's not getting out of committee. And one of the reasons it's not getting out of committee is because it's very confusing. I mean, last night there was talk of bringing in a timer, buying a timer, and the law director advised against that, and basically it just needs to be left up to the person running the committee. It needs to be left up to the president of council. And who's going to enforce these rules anyway? And we're making it very difficult for even us to understand anything, let alone anybody enforce these rules. This just seems like a very, very, very dead issue. Now, not a lot of people showed up to the meeting last night, citizen-wise, but I will say that the people who did show up last night spoke, and I thought that mattered last night in the decorum conversation, because I think everybody gave very well-thought-out thoughts and opinions, and I think that helped last night. I don't think Ralph Smith is all in on this. I certainly don't think Scott Kreider's all in on this. So it's staying in committee because nobody really understands this legislation, and nobody understands how it's going to be implemented. The whole point is here, you can pass all kinds of legislation. If nobody ever implements it, it's not going to mean anything, and that's really what this decorum issue is all about. And Aaron Rollins got up and spoke last night, city councilman at large, and he said, why are we doing this? What caused this? Why are we trying to do this? And basically nobody in the committee had an answer. I think that's the problem. Nobody knows why it's being done. Nobody knows how it would be pulled off. It's just very odd, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It'll spend another 2 weeks now in committee. So, you know, I think the next time this will be discussed will actually be the week of July 4th, after July 4th. I'm not really sure. I'm not looking at a calendar. but it'll be 2 weeks from now. And it's already been in committee for 2 months. That should tell you something when something's been in committee that long, and nobody can quite fully understand what this legislation is all about. Now, if anybody has any thoughts on that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. It's always interesting to hear what people have to say about what's going on. Apparently, it would be July the 6th. So, yes, the next time this will be heard would be after July 4th. So, there you have it. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. You know, I've got thoughts on the decorum stuff.
Well, let them rip.
I'm sorry for the people that get tired of listening to me.
Nobody's tired, no. People are tired of listening to me, I'm sure.
One moment that really stuck out to me that I think was kind of poignant and kind of points out the reason why some of us are concerned. And for number's sake, I counted last night. I didn't count you or Matt because I count you guys as part of the press. And I didn't count anyone that was a member of city council that was sitting in the audience. So I've just counted us civilians. There were 10 people there.
Hey, by the way, before we move on past that, Marion Starr absent again last night. Now, she hasn't been there for 6 weeks, although I did
see... Is it 6 now?
Yeah, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And, well, at least 3. Well, I can't... Well, maybe more than that. It's been a while.
I'm thinking it's been a month because I've only been at, like, the last 2 or 3 of the 4 meetings, and she has not been... I think she was at 1, so I think I've been out at 5 of the past... I don't know. I've been at, like, 6 of in the past 2 months, and she was at 1 of them, but you had said that she had not been there prior, and well, she was there for that, and then she has not been there.
Right. So here's the thing that bothers me about this. And again, nothing against her, because I don't know what the situation is. I know she doesn't live in Marion. But I noticed last week there was a story about the extension of terms for city council. Mm-hmm. Now... Was she fed that story via a press release? I doubt it, because I don't think the city did it. So is she just watching the live streams too, which is a tremendous disservice to the media? And maybe it's because they've cut her hours. I don't know what happened, but that's very unfortunate.
I don't know what happened in that situation, but I can tell you there have been a few articles in the Star lately that are not... Now, the big articles are attributed to her, like if it's a big, interesting story or it's a lifestyle piece, she is writing those. I can't remember what the story was, but it was attributed to AI.
Well, and that's... Maybe it was that. Because I know there was a story in there last week about the passing of the extension of the terms to be on the November ballot.
She wrote that.
She did write
that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
Because I've been checking now every article to see who wrote it.
Well, see, and here's the thing about that. That had to come from the live stream then, because she wasn't there for that meeting. And I don't think the city did a press release on that. So, I don't read the stories because I don't have a subscription, but whatever information was in that article could have only been something she watched. And,
right.
And that's not good journalism.
Well, I mean, that's what happened, though. She does not live in Marion, so unless there was something interesting going on, I wouldn't stay until 8:30 at night to hear some of that nonsense either.
Well, that's true, but maybe it's just ingrained in me when I started 100 years ago that the things you did not miss were city council and county commissioners because... that's where legislation is passed, and you didn't want to hear those stories secondhand.
Right. But you don't have to hear them secondhand anymore. You can hear them from the comfort of your own home and your hands your feet kicked up.
Which that's true, but I just also think there's a... like, for example, if you're the media, and I think she's a well-trained journalist. I don't think she's not.
She's probably very poorly paid is the reason why she doesn't want to stay out till 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night for meetings.
Right, but like in that meeting about extending the terms, now, you think you would ask the person who voted no why they would vote no. That's a very crucial piece of that story.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that if you are at home unless you call them the next day. And that's, by that point, they've got an answer, a different answer right. than you would get that night.
And that was my point with, and I think I told you a while back, or not so long ago, that some of the best interviews you've gotten are immediately after city council meetings, when the emotion is still raw and it just happened and people haven't had time to sit down and put together their canned response.
Well, that's it. And I mean, that's one of the reasons you attend, because there are things going on in the room that you cannot see on the live stream.
Right.
There are those interviews that you can't get.
You can't capture the mood of the room necessarily unless you're in it either.
No, and I feel bad about that, because I just think that how do you know if something's going to happen or not? If you would have read the agenda last night, it would have seemed like a very bland agenda, yet we went longer.
We found a lot of stuff out.
Yes, and we went longer than we went the week before.
Well, city planning had 3 items on its agenda, and that meeting was an hour and 48 minutes long.
Right. So here we are.
So, yeah, exactly. That's, you don't know what's going to happen at these meetings. And that's one issue that I have with the 3-minute thing. I think there were some very good exchanges between the audience and the members of council last night. And we were there until, 8 o'clock or so, I think, last night.
It wasn't too bad.
It wasn't a very heavy agenda, as you said. But I believe there was a lot of meaningful discussion. I believe there were some interactions that, you know, were aggressive or whatever. And for the listeners, it wasn't me. I was well-behaved last night. But one stark thing that stuck out to me, and you were there, so you got to hear me blab about it, with their decorum.
Yes, yes.
There was a member of the public, his name is Ashton Seals, and he got up last night, and he was very reserved in his speaking. He had a prepared, I don't want to say speech, but it was. I mean, he probably stayed within his 3-minute or 4-minute limit of speaking, and he closed out his speech with, part of the Declaration of Independence, you know, we hold these things to be true, that all men are created equal. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, because I don't have it memorized, but, you know, our rights come from our Creator. And it really gave me goosebumps when he broke out into that, because, you know, here we are rolling up on America's 250th birthday, and my granddaughter and I had just spent Sunday, and we had America's birthday party last year, and we're having America's birthday party this year, and she's helping me plan, and, you know, this is a big deal. This is something that my family takes seriously. And when he started to read part of the Declaration of Independence, it really did give me goosebumps, and I really was inspired. And, you know, 3 of us rattled off about 6 little hand claps, and we got gaveled. We got gaveled for someone reading the Declaration of Independence in a city meeting. But when someone tells a joke about, oh, you know, people riding scooters, we just need to take them all and throw them and lock away the key, oh, that's acceptable. That outburst is acceptable. But clapping because someone read the Declaration of Independence is wrong. And I said this morning to someone, I said, I'm not saying that people should be able to have outbursts to the point of derailing the meeting. But I was raised a Pentecostal. If you don't get an amen from the congregation every now and then, you're not doing it right.
Well, you know, here's my take on that, and I'm certainly not here to defend city council, but I think the difference between a hand clap and a laugh is spontaneous and something you really can't stop from doing. And a hand clap is something you do choose to do or not choose to do. Now, I'm not against either. I'm not saying either should be done away with. But I think that's why a hand...
You can set an environment that laughing is not allowed. And when people laugh, you gabble them instead of allowing it.
But it is like a cough. I mean, you can't... If you're genuinely laughing, you can have all the...
Coughing is a physical reaction to not being able to breathe.
Well, but, I mean, so is I mean, have you ever tried to hold a laugh in when somebody says something funny?
Yes.
It looks terrible.
Yes. Yes.
So,
but
I mean,
you still do. But if you also know, I mean, have you ever been in court when someone said something funny? Because it happens.
Right, and they do laugh. And they do laugh, even though they're not supposed to. And usually
what
the judge...
What does the judge do? which is the judge.
Well, usually they admonish him.
They bang the gavel.
Right, which again, yeah. That's what would have to happen here, and that's why I don't understand this, because I don't know how you can admonish involuntary actions.
Well, and that's the thing. You're right about the clapping, but as I pointed out last night, when Bob Smith gets appointed to the airport committee, we all sit up there and clap about that. When they read their declarations for Adopt a Puppy Month, and I'm just picking random things that aren't real so no one gets offended, and if Bob Smith is real and he got appointed to the airports committee, I did not know, that was random. But, you know, we can't sit up there and clap and encourage and be happy about those things because they like them.
Yeah, that's a better parallel. And that, I think... Yeah.
You know, that's okay. But there can be no outburst, quote unquote outburst, planned or unplanned at all.
Right. And I think
they don't have a good grasp. I think Kreider does, but I don't think that Ralph Smith does because he gaveled us for it. But you just cannot pick and choose what outburst is acceptable. And as I said last Monday, There was the young man up there speaking, and I believe it was probably his mother who was sort of coaching him along or explaining the point he was trying to make from the audience. You're not allowed to do that. If we can't boo or whatever, because what she did was planned. She planned to speak, you know? She didn't restrain.
Well,
she didn't hold back.
And that's why
it doesn't matter what's being said. If you're going to say that we can't clap for the Declaration of Independence, then we cannot laugh when someone makes a funny.
Well, that's why I've said since the beginning of this, if we go back to week one when it first appeared on the agenda, I have said I don't believe it will get out of committee, and if it does, it's not going to mean anything, because here is ultimately the problem with this. Okay, let's say this is passed, you know, full bore with every little thing in there that's in there right now. It's going to be on the president of council to enforce it, and with all the rules and the cumbersome nature of it, nobody's ever going to be able to enforce it. They can't enforce what they got now. So it's
so not, then that's what they're going to get into, enforcing it unequally?
No, I don't think they'll enforce it unequally. I don't until I see that, but I just think it'll be the same.
It happened to me, Scott. It has happened to me.
Right.
So I don't have to wait to see it. I have already experienced it.
I guess what I'm saying is let's say this got out of committee, passed council, and became legislation. I don't think you would see a hair's bit of difference in the way they're acting now in the meeting is run than it would be the week after this was enacted, because I don't think it's controllable because it's too confusing.
If they would learn the rules they have now and then maybe even make those rules available to the public, because there's nothing wrong with putting a list. I asked last night, Ralph Smith keeps coming back to the, we don't want people to take 15 to 30 minutes to filibuster.
But he'll stay there all night.
I asked him to give me an example of that. Could he?
No, and well, see, this also goes back to the questions I was interested in.
But he couldn't give me an example of the problem that he was trying to solve.
Well, that's the four-year term question. You know, when has a new council ever been elected? Because that's the reasoning for that. But it's never happened. So, a lot of this stuff, I think, is being brought up because they want to bring it up. But the reasons given...
I think it was what they wanted addressed in a charter, and they didn't get their way with the charter. So now this is their way of bringing that to life.
Could be, but, you know, the point is, if you're going to give a reasoning for something, at least let us know just one time that it ever happened. And,
right.
And a lot of times they can't, because it's not something that is ever likely to happen or has ever happened. So...
Well, I gave them an example last night, as
yes,
a matter of fact.
Yes.
And, you know, because I've been at... Well, you know, I can tell you 2 years ago, myself, I spoke for about 20-some minutes, 2 years ago. Ralph Smith was not on council, Kreider was not on council, and Danny Clark was not on council when that happened. So the problem they're trying to address, I can only think of one person during Ralph Smith's term that has spoken for 15 minutes as a member of the public, and it was Luke Henry when he was up there advocating for them to create the building code department. That's the only resident that has ever spoken for 15 minutes. And the only other people that have spoken for that amount of time are invited speakers, like your flock people, ODA, those sort of people, when they're giving a presentation. Well, and they're supposed to be, you know?
Well, and I thought that was kind of interesting last night, in which the law director, because there was some idea of buying a timer, the law director said, no, absolutely not. It's just going to be on the person running the meeting to control it. And I'm telling you, that's going to be very hard, because from the time the person comes up to hit the podium and you're going to look at your watch or you're going to hit the timer on your cell phone, highly unlikely that's going to happen. And again, this is why I'm saying I do not believe that these are enforceable. I don't believe that anybody's going to be able to pull that off with all the other things they're worrying about in a meeting, a person running a meeting. I mean, nothing will change. And
Pollock already has enough to do during a meeting. I mean, he's doing his job and Mary's, basically. If you listen to those recordings, like, you can hear Pollock tell her, okay, this person had the first, that person had the second. And he keeps track of all of that.
Well, I was just saying, do you really think Mary's going to be able to pull this off?
She can't pull her own job off right now.
So there you go.
A timer would just complicate it for certain.
Right.
That is the issue, though. That when, you know, when we like the Declaration of Independence, no noise from us. When they like National Adopt a Puppy Month, let's all cheer and clap.
And I think that'll be changed.
I don't think that people should interrupt to the point that a meeting gets derailed. But I don't think that, like, as you said, you know, laughter is the same as a cough or whatever. If somebody coughs, the meeting isn't derailed. When we clapped four times last night, did the meeting get out of control?
No, I didn't. I thought that was probably, you know, we're having a discussion on decorum, an outburst happened. I thought Ralph did that because I think Ralph was sort of,
but he's also told me 2 weeks in a row what I couldn't talk about in a decorum meeting. And when I'm up there trying to point out, you are going to pick and choose what people are allowed to say, and that's where the real problem is. If you want to give us all 3 minutes, fine. But make sure when I get up there for my 3 minutes, I'm allowed to talk about whatever I want to talk about. And if it's your friend up there and, you know, they're talking about how great the city is and you give them 7 minutes, then you need to give me 7 minutes to give a rebuttal. That's what they don't understand. If we're going to turn this into debate club, then everybody gets equal time.
Right, and I think that's what Kreider has realized and also convinced at least Ralph Smith of. Because he has said, listen, there's some stuff that you need to read about just general decorum in a meeting. And my impression on that is just basically, you know, don't do anything that's going to, you know, it's probably things like language and things of that nature.
And not to get too far into it, but I've spent more than a year reading First Amendment type stuff, and there are different types of public forums. There's a designated public forum, there's limited public forums, there's the government is allowed to set time, place, you know, they're allowed to keep us on topic, that sort of thing. However, these people are trying to do more than that, and I think that Kreider is starting to see the nuance and realize that it's slippery slope. They need to realize that they're not always going to be in power. And what if somebody that they don't like gets 4 years in office?
Right, but I also think, I truly do believe Ralph Smith understands it because he has not been willing to second or send this on to council now for what will it be, 8 weeks.
Yes.
And
so then why don't they just table it?
Well, because
why do they keep entertaining it?
Because I think Ralph is in a tough spot. Because Ralph is obviously one of the people who wanted to bring it. And then once he brought it, I think he realized the problems with it. Because he's tried to amend it several different times.
He realized, oh, I'm a tyrant. The only thing they're amending is, do we need a stopwatch? This, that, it needs to say. And they've never changed it. It says that a speaker may be recognized. No, a speaker shall be recognized. Because then you're also starting to get into, I may recognize Scott Spears just because I like Scott, and I know he's probably going to say nice things about me, but I may not recognize Naomi Craig because she's going to come up here and ask questions that I don't want to answer.
Well, it's interesting.
Did you see the difference between May and Sal there?
Well, it is, I think last night was the stopwatch, but I think many times he has had issue with it. And if you notice, every decorum meeting, which last night was the fourth one, every week Ralph and Scott have brought something to change. They start by saying, "I've got a few problems with this." So I don't think they're completely comfortable with it. A matter of fact, I know they're not completely comfortable with it, which is why it doesn't get out of committee, even though they know it's going to be on the agenda. So to me, I just think Ralph is in a tough spot. I think Scott doesn't want to vote for it the way it is.
Well, you know, July 6th will be the next time that they talk about this, and we might all be fireworked and hot-dogged up enough to just hopefully go up there and all just take turns reading the Declaration of Independence to them.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's fascinating to me. The one thing I thought about last night when this was all going on, when people were speaking, and I thought that this is why Facebook Live is not a good idea, because I thought the speakers were effective last night, is that, you know, I kept thinking back to our little party here last week when I asked Mayor Kellogg, you know, who just turned 90 on Sunday, the day before last night's meeting, when I said, "Why were you always so accessible to the media?" Now, this is a Marion, former city councilman, mayor, so on and so forth. I said, "Why were you always so accessible to the media?" Because Mayor Kellogg is the one who started the monthly meetings with the media, the monthly visits. And he
Grandpa
said,
Jack is the way I just remember him coming to Harding when I was in high school.
Yeah. But his answer,
Grandpa Jack.
His answer was profound in that it was my job.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
he never shirked the public, ever.
No, and I think that should be on the record somewhere in a decorum discussion, because this is a Republican, which most of these men are, and women. I think this is important, and I think, you know, quoting the Declaration of Independence is not wrong, but if we're talking about what has happened in this chamber, this is how past people have felt about dealing with media and dealing with the public. You know, so what's different now?
The questions are tougher. I don't know. The personalities are different. Their egos are more fragile. I mean, that's just me kind of playing when I say that. It's not necessarily a shot because, you know what, everybody calm down now. I'm going to give a little credit. I think Ralph Smith is much more sensible and approachable than when he first started on council. I don't believe that he and I will ever be on each other's Christmas cards list, but I do believe he has softened his approach to the public since he first started.
Well, yes, but Ralph is somebody.
He's much more diplomatic than he used to be.
Well, he'll also ask questions of things that I don't think the administration wants questions asked of.
No.
Which I think is very interesting.
Speaking of which,
yes.
We got a few answers last night, I think, about the audit, don't you?
Well,
did you consider that news?
Yeah, I would say so. Nothing, basically, as far as the state audit goes, but as far as the local audits, there's still
not financial plan. No, we still don't know about that, and I have my speculations on that after listening to last night's meeting. So for those that follow along loosely, we believe our 2022 reconciliations are finishing up. Is that the way you took that? Like,
that's what she said, Vinny,
okay, so,
the new auditor.
Yes, the auditor said that our 2022 reconciliations that have been worked on for well over a year, but by this gentleman, he was supposed to have them done in a month. That was in February. He had some health issues. So now here we are in June, and we believe they should be finished up by this week or next week, was my understanding. Does that sound correct to you?
I think that's what you said.
And then they are to go off to our CPA, that we have contracted with to do the actual audit, and then that will be sent to the state of Ohio. So, Robert Landon, your day of reckoning is coming, honey. It's not far away. And my thoughts are the state of Ohio is waiting, because I went through our financial plan that we submitted again, and I went through the audit that got us into this trouble, and I believe that they are waiting. This is my unprofessional, somewhat professional opinion. I believe that they are waiting to see the 2022 audit before they decide anything, because in our own financial plan and in the state's audit of 21, there's a lot of we don't know if these numbers are correct. These numbers are based on 2022 audit being complete, and then, you know, we don't know what 23, 24, 25 looks like. So the plan that we handed them, we don't know if it's good or not, because we don't know if any of the numbers in it are accurate or not. And that's not because they're just up there winging it. It's because we don't know. So I think that they're going to at least wait until this 2022 audit is processed, which shouldn't be long now. I'd say a matter of months. By early fall, we should know something. And that's probably when they'll decide the next step to take.
Well, it's an interesting situation up there. I was going to ask you, because I asked this yesterday morning, because I'm starting to see more and more anger directed at Luke Henry. And that name was brought up last night. That's the person who spoke.
I boycott anything he owns.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm confused about. Because I've seen the videos that are negative toward him. I have seen some of the things that have been written to the point to where he has had to respond as to how businesses got in his...
Okay, and you know, he was responding to me on that, right?
Well,
to a post that I made. Luke Henry is sitting up there in Founders Park. The building, the Lydia Project, the one where Oxy's and such is, that's the building that he got the entire building department pushed through for so he could get it done faster. The state of Ohio was taking too long to issue his permits, et cetera, et cetera. So we created an entire building department so that man could get his projects pushed through further. There's a big gas leak in the building. Makes the building has to be evacuated. The new businesses lose business. Okay? That sucks. It really does. But remember, we created an entire building department because permits were taking too long.
This is where Wicks and Lazise is and all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and it develops a gas leak after we pushed his permits through faster. Okay? So take that for what it's worth. Now, what he's sitting in Founders Park just talking about how forlorn he is, watching these businesses that are trying so hard, you know, to make their way, and they're losing a whole day's worth of business, and it's a peak business day. I get all this. I was in the restaurant industry for a long time. I'm very sorry for those people. Crap happens, though. You know, I mean, that's the risk. That's the business. The
nature
of business.
Now, wait a second. No, let me ask a question here. These are restaurants now, mm-hmm. and they don't have really long hours compared to the restaurants on 95.
No, they're limited.
They're
like,
limited.
Lunch, and I'd say I don't know for sure, but I'd say 8-9 p.m. If
right.
I had to guess.
So I guess my question is, and not that losing any money is a good thing, but does one day's loss of business really put them in that kind of pickle?
Yes.
Really?
A restaurant runs 3-5% profit margin.
Well,
so one day might pay your electric bill. But here's my thought. But he's over in Founders Park, and he's forlorn about these businesses losing business, okay? And then it turns into, go support them. Give them your money. Show them your love. Okay, what my big problem with Luke Henry is, he's gotten all these buildings for all these years for next to nothing. They throw him grant money. They throw him tax abatements. They throw him this. They throw him that. They give him a building department. They give him absolutely everything he wants. My side of town, a quarter of a mile away, can't get a damn sidewalk to Job and Family Services so women don't have to push their babies up the middle of Leader Street to get to child support, to get to the quote-unquote welfare office, so people can get to the homeless shelter. So people, it would be quicker for me to walk up Leader Street to get to Lincoln Park, but there's no sidewalk. So I walk all the way down to Oak Street and walk up to Lincoln Park. We can't get a GD sidewalk, but Luke Henry can get the downtown repainted, so parking spots repainted, so there's places for his people to come shop at his stores. And when we don't shop at one of his stores, and when one of that he owns the building, and somebody comes in and opens this business, and when we don't share their business for custom-made sweatshirts, and they go out of business, well, we don't love Marion, and we don't support Marion, and we don't care about Marion, and we don't want development to come to Marion. This guy's renting $1,500, $1,700 two-bedroom apartments. You know, he's gentrifying Marion. He doesn't understand why we won't go eat $25 plates of food, because we can't afford it. And then we're shamed into not loving our city, not supporting his businesses. So, long story short, we need to go support Lizzie's. We need to go support Oxby's. We need to go support Whips. Somebody sent it to me. I didn't look it up. His wife owns Whips. Buddy, you lost money. I don't feel bad for you. So you shamed us for years because you can't collect rent off empty spaces because we don't support these people's vision. You shame us for that. But yet you're telling us a building that you rushed through, the building department that you had newly created, it got closed down for a day, and we need to go support a business that you own. That. If I know that he owns the building, I will not go into it. I do not shop downtown if he owns the building.
Well, let me say this. I don't know the intricacies of this, but any business, and listen, I'm not saying anybody...
No one's entitled to our money, Scott, and he acts like he is entitled to our money.
Well, I said, I don't know that I've even ever talked to him, so...
Downtown Marion was basically his advertising arm that was funded by the taxpayers.
Well, here's,
they promoted the businesses in his buildings that he collects rent from.
Well, here's the thing. Even the local businesses that operate, let's say, on North Main Street, or let's say that operate on 95, or that operate on Delaware Avenue, I can't imagine if they had to close down for a day, like I know a lot of businesses didn't do very well this past winter on certain days when the temperature was below zero.
Right.
I can't imagine one day's business, if your business is on the brink of closure because of one day's business.
A new business is different because you've just made a large investment in equipment, a space, startup product, all of those other things. You have a lot of overhead when you're starting out now.
Right, but I would also, when you first open up
so
a business...
You need every penny you can get into reduction.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is when you first open up a business, that's usually your busiest time.
Yes.
So
when you lose a weekend day is going to be a high market, high profit, a high revenue day. You're going to have high sales, hopefully.
It's always hopefully. I just can't imagine saying because we were closed for a day, more people need to come because that would... I think if I was a business, that would be an indication.
You can see how... So now you can see it. I lost business for one day. Come support me. Me, Mr. Multimillionaire that owns half of downtown... can't afford to not have business for one day. You need to come support me. I get sick of the you need to support downtown harder. I get sick of it. Entitled to my money just because it is a quarter to a half a mile away from my house.
Well, I think
I'm not required to go buy $70 jeans because it is a quarter of a mile away from my house. And they have shamed so many people to the point I'm not the only one that feels this way. And if I'm going to spend $25 or $30 on a meal, I'm going to go somewhere where I know it's consistent and it's not a gamble.
Well, my guess is one of the reasons that they continue to push this so hard, which I've brought up several times, is because things are not doing well down there. And they've not been doing well down there for a long time.
If they just keep trying harder, Scott, if we just love our city harder, we would just appreciate the fact that they're even willing to invest. How many times have we heard that? The fact that anybody's even willing to invest, the fact that these people are even trying, good for them. I mean that. I wholeheartedly mean that. I wish everyone much success, but I do not have to share in your vision, and I you are not entitled to my money just because I live here.
Well, I've learned that if a business is good and people like
people
to go,
people
will go there. I don't think anybody hey, when the family's sitting at home at night, they go, well, where do we want to eat tonight? I don't think they go, well, you know, let's go to downtown Marion, or let's go to the north side, or let's go to the east side. They name a place that they want to go to, and that's it. I don't really understand the idea of where, location to me, I don't think in Marion means a whole lot.
Well, the downtown, they have forced it on us for so long that now to me I have no desire for it whatsoever.
Well,
there are a couple places downtown that I go. I get my happy butt up and I walk down there. I love going to the Remnant.
Right.
They have great coffee, great baked goods. I love going to Yummy
Tree. And I think they're doing okay.
Yes, our Remnant's doing fantastic.
Oh, there
Remnant has a great thing. If you haven't been there, you should go. It's just a wonderful experience. Wonderful.
But in the last 3 minutes of this, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is not so much associated with that incident with his businesses, but what is the general dislike of the man? Because when
gentrification, he is just everything. He can get whatever he wants. He is hell-bent on making Marion a better place to live in so much that we cannot afford to live here.
So
that's just what it comes down to. Look how many millions and millions of dollars in grant money he's received. And you've got Leap and Outreach that's still begging and hoping for a grant for $150,000 so they can replace their HVAC, so they can open a homeless shelter. And they can't get any money.
But
my
I guess,
God, if Luke Henry needs money for this, that, or the other, we'll find a way to do it for him.
Well, I think, honestly, a lot of the people's in government feeling toward downtown Marion is they feel they can't let it fail, because if they have a downtown that is not good, that will make the whole city fail.
Go downtown. There's an entire strip. I was just out there walking the other day. There's a strip between Main Street and Prospect Street. There's a little strip right there where Amada's was. That whole strip is empty. There's not one store there.
Well, every restaurant, as I've said, in downtown Marion, with few exceptions, comes in.
We have a third barbecue restaurant, Scott.
Well, there you
go. We've all been clamoring for that. We couldn't keep the first two open.
Well, no, I did.
Three times a charm.
I did hear the other day that what's the new place downtown? The, what do they call it? The Smokehouse? I hear that's doing well, but again, they've only been open a month.
I was on foot Saturday night, popped my head in the door, and it wasn't full.
Well, I don't know. That building's got a curse on it. They've went through so many businesses.
It's definitely a barbecue curse, that's for sure.
Well, it's just, I guess what I, that people are making videos to say negative things about Luke Henry.
Now, see, I'm not doing that. I didn't do that.
No, but I've seen all these things within the last 3 weeks.
He's screwed a lot of people over. There are people I know that have looked into going into his, to renting a space from him. And before you rented a space from him, you had to tell him what your business plan was, what you planned on doing, how much money you had, all this other stuff. It couldn't be just, can I rent a space? Because he didn't want to rent a space to someone whose business is going to fail. He didn't want that look. And then I've been told, I don't know if this is true or not, that someone presented an idea. They wanted to move into one of his spaces. And instead of letting them move in, he snagged the idea and used it for himself. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what this person who was going to open a business told me.
Well, if he did that, he wouldn't be the first person to do that.
No, that's pretty shady.
I'm not saying it's ethical, but he certainly wouldn't be the first one to do that. Unfortunately. But we're going to go to break. We've got more to talk about on the other side of this short but important break. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
Garrett, well, she wasn't real. Because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad. And